is.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
I know the Christian Hackenberg thing means nothing. They're always looking at quarterbacks, and scrub quarterbacks are coming through here all the time, even in the best of times. Even in the best of times when everything's fully functional and everyone's in their prime and, you know, happy and grinding it out. Even when things are at their best, they'll bring in a scrub nobody quarterback. So I know that doesn't mean anything. Why do I just feel worse about them bringing Hackenberg now? Like, why do I just tie it together? Why do I add it to the list?
Because it's all that it is now. Is you know that none of this is going to matter.
I shouldn't add it to the list, but I just sort of do. Christian Hackenberg.
No. Because you had a guy that would have made all of this stuff completely irrelevant. You're baiting me now.
Okay, right, exactly. So, Patriots, baseball, the Manny Machado trade rumors. What would you be willing to give up? Maz would give up Benintendi or Devers in a trade for Machado and Zach Britton. Would you do that, Alan, in Florida?
Maz, I don't know. You're smoking something. I've heard some ridiculous things, you know, this takes the cake. You would trade Benintendi. You know, you guys are mixing the sports up, tanking and baseball. You know, you're talking about the NBA. The Yankees a few years ago had these old, horrible players. What Brian Cashman did was incredible. Now they got one of the best farm systems. It doesn't take long. It takes money in baseball. Money, not draft picks, because who knows when you can draft somebody and...
That's just not true, Alan.
Well, what's the Red Sox excuse, Alan?
But, Alan, the last two World Series champions were totally homegrown, built through tanking. Have you not been paying attention?
No, I have been. It was true with Houston, but was Altuve a part of that? I mean, you can buy players now.
Wasn't he?
What if the Phillies have a pitcher, Nola, for instance? Well, what if his contract's up, the Red Sox buy him? All of a sudden, he's a young pitcher. Right now, he's one of the top 5 or 10 pitchers in the National League. I mean, there's ways of doing it. You know, like Murray just now said, the ace of the staff, Felix Hernandez. He's one of the worst starting pitchers in the American League now. They got a guy, young guy by the name of Paxton.
Alan, what about Machado?
You cannot, first of all, how would you trade a guy for a half a season? Benintendi, his potential is limitless.
Alan, let me ask you, let me change your names. If it were Devers, would you do it?
Yeah.
Well, then what's the difference? Why are you talking about the service time?
Because the upside of Benintendi, he could be one of the best players in baseball for the next 10 years.
Okay,
I'm not convinced that Devers can do that.
Okay, so it's about the quality of the player then. It's not about the service time. It's about the quality of the player.
Well, of course, the quality of the player has something to do with it. And you mentioned Britton. We don't even know if Britton can pitch anymore. He came back last year for a little bit. He couldn't pitch. So, I mean, that's silly. You know what? I'd have to think twice about Devers, too. But I probably would do it because I do think the Red Sox could win this year.
So this is why I said earlier, the thing about Devers is a statement on Devers.
Significant statement on Devers, yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I told you I would do Devers before Benintendi. Because ultimately, I think the upgrade from Devers to Machado, from Devers to Machado right now.
But ultimately, you do both. Alan, it is about Devers. He would trade Devers in that scenario, but not Benintendi. So that's strictly about Devers.
Okay, I'm telling you that this idea of you got to keep these young guys to protect the Red Sox future, for what? What future? What future are we talking about? We talking with who? Jay Groom? Michael Chavis? Is this a PED-infested future we're talking about? Because as far as I know, Chavis can't play without the PEDs, based on his minor league career. Or who? Trey Ball? Who sucks? Tanner Houck? Who sucks? They have no prospects. They have none. There is no future. It's all about the now. So again, at the beginning of the year, I just said no way to even Devers. But now if you're telling me that we can, you can get Britton on top of it, I'd think about it. I'd think long and hard about it. I might even do it.
Mike under the bridge on the Pats. Hi, Mike.
So, Maz, I just want to elaborate on your position over the past few weeks. So I don't understand what the issue is. Why is it taboo to say that Tom Brady has changed? He's changed. But I just want to, can we at least acknowledge history? Belichick is the general. Brady is the lieutenant. Belichick creates the plan. Brady carries out the plan. Bill is in charge. It has worked this way for years. I don't understand. Brady knew that for years. Brady has known that the entire time. So I don't understand. He actually basked in the fact that he was the lieutenant, and that's sort of what made everything work. So it's hard for me to, I just don't understand why it's like against people's constitution to say that Brady's not following the chain of command. He isn't. That's just a fact. He's not following the chain of command.
I'm with you, Michael, 100%. Is it totally fair what's happened to Brady? No. I understand where you come from, Murray, on that. But it's just, it is what it is. You can't have the player running the show over the coach, especially this guy, especially the way they have it down there. It's just not, this isn't like one of those programs like Pete Carroll where he gives the players all that, you know. This is Belichick. You can't have it.
So why should I follow the chain of command if I'm Tom Brady when you try to screw me and sully my name with the Seth Wickersham piece?
The way it is.
And then you screw me on my sixth ring because you don't put Malcolm Butler in? Oh, the hell with you. And I know how more important I am to this whole puzzle, probably more than you when you look at the last 5 or 6 years. So no, screw your chain of command.
Well, then retire.
Yeah, and so Brady's more concerned about his personal vendetta with Belichick than he is about winning?
Yeah. Pettiness and spite, which I support.
I know. See, I know what you feel on that.
I mean, I'm with this whole thing, I wonder if on some level, too, now, maybe we've had it backwards. Like, I don't know how many times they've said, Belichick wants to win without Brady. What if Brady now wants to win without Belichick? Like, maybe it's reached the point where he says, fine, yeah, I'm so sick of you. Everybody saying that, you know, it's the two of us, or it's you, it's your system. So, you know what? I'm hoping they fire your ass so I can win with McDaniels. Like, what if that ever actually happened?
If it's human nature for Bill to want to win without Brady, why isn't human nature for Brady to feel the same way about the coach?
It's totally human
nature.
It's
the exact same thing.
I just tell you, though, it's never crossed my mind until now that that's something Brady would want. What if it actually happened? What if Bill goes and they're still every bit as good and they win? Like, you know, that has never crossed my mind. And now all of a sudden it's, because I think if Bill goes, that everything's going to get looser, because I don't think much of McDaniels as a coach. I don't. I'm sorry. I go back to Denver. I think McDaniels is wildly overrated. I think they'll fall on their faces. But if it ever went the other way, who knows? I'm not telling you I'm right. If it ever went the other way, oh boy, Brady would be untouchable.
We continue with all these items, plus an update on the NBA rumor mongering right after this.
Felger and Mazz, the Sports Hub. Felger and Mazz.
I love it.
You were right, Mazz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
The Celtics need to be concerned about Kyrie Irving and his future there for a few reasons. One, he will be a free agent, as you said, in 2019. He's not going to sign a contract extension, and I get it. He could lose anywhere from $80 to $100 million.
That's a no-brainer.
If he resigns. Yeah. Exactly. A no-brainer. So I have no problem with that. I'm sure the Celtics understand that. However, you can come out and say, no, I'm not signing now because it just doesn't make financial sense. However, I love it here. This is where I want to be long term. We got a great coach. We got great talent. It's a great organization. This is where I want to play for the next several years.
And he hasn't done it. So that's Chris Broussard. It's another voice saying you need to worry about Kyrie Irving and his future in Boston. And he put it perfect, like we were saying all day yesterday. Him not signing now makes perfect financial sense. He can't sign now. He has to sign next year. Everyone gets that. But he can not sign this year and still say, I want to be a Celtic. And he's never done it. He remains noncommittal. And this is starting to concern a lot of people, including us, in terms of Kyrie being here long haul. And I, the more it goes on, the more I think there's something to it. And I think just Broussard, you know, encapsulated that perfectly. Also, he made some interesting points here as he goes forward. He's on Fox Sports 1, Jimmy, okay? So you can just pick that sound up, right?
This is where I want to play for the next several years.
So you
he gave us
phony?
None of that.
I don't want him to be phony.
I don't want him to be phony. Be what you are. Be honest. And apparently, he doesn't see Boston as the place he may stay long term. That's why they need to be concerned. Remember, Boston was not on the list that he gave to Cleveland when he wanted to be traded. It was New York, Miami, San Antonio, Minnesota.
Jimmy's interjection here for a second.
Yes,
that
please.
Is untrue. Boston was on Kyrie Irving's list.
That's from what you believe?
That's David Griffin, the former Cavaliers general manager, saying that.
Okay, so
that's better than what I believe.
No, I'm glad you mentioned that. David Griffin, we'd have to go back and listen to it, Jimmy. David Griffin definitely dropped a hint about Boston and Kyrie and was definitely talking about Boston and Kyrie being a spot. But did he say that that was on his list? In other words, Kyrie does not get to choose where he went. He didn't have a no-trade clause.
No, it's about what was best for Cleveland.
So Cleveland chose where he went. Kyrie didn't choose where he went. I don't know. And again, I'm asking Jimmy because I can't remember. Did Griffin just know that's where the trade was going? So is it possible, what I'm saying is that both are right, that Kyrie had a list, but the best trade for Cleveland was Boston and he agreed to it?
It could have been, but San Antonio was also on that list, as I remember Griffin saying so.
Okay, so I think that was on Broussard as well just now. Well, that's your point, huh?
Yeah. Okay. He I think he's being a little intellectually dishonest when he leaves Boston off that list.
Okay, well, anyway, continue.
Continue.
So the fact that he can walk away from you in a year and you get nothing in return should scare them. Game 7 against Cleveland, he wasn't on the bench. Now, he could have had that surgery weeks before and been able to be there for Game 7, or even later and been able to be there for Game 7. The fact that he wasn't there for Game 7, those are three reasons they should be concerned about his future. What they have to do, forget LeBron James. What Danny Ainge needs to do is sit down with Kyrie Irving, have a heart-to-heart. What do you see yourself here long-term? I get it that you don't want to sign. You shouldn't sign right now. But we want to build around you. We want you to be a part of our championship future. Do you see yourself here 4 years from now?
This is what I
love. And if he can't give you that honest answer, then you have to explore trading him because you can't let him walk for nothing.
Okay. Exactly. I was not expecting the Kyrie drama this offseason.
Me neither. No, I told you. I glossed right over it from an injury standpoint, all of it. I just assumed that they're going to keep this guy, that when they traded for him, they knew he would sign here.
But
like,
now?
Now I don't think that that's true.
And I don't think it's just fake drama. I think there's a legit question about Kyrie Irving now.
I mean, look, because to me, Broussard picked up on what we did with regard to Kyrie's comments. He could very easily say, look, guys, I'm not signing this summer, but I love it here. I mean, it's been great. I like the organization. The coach has been fabulous. I love my teammates. This is exactly what I envisioned when I wanted to be in a place by myself, you know, or without LeBron. Once I get out of Cleveland, however you want to phrase that. Like, to me, he could easily do that. He hasn't. And if I'm the Celtics, I'm concerned about it. I am. And I'd be willing to bet that they've raised his name with organizations like New Orleans. Now, I don't know if Kyrie would go to New Orleans, but I'd be willing to bet that they have raised it.
Well, Kyrie doesn't have a choice.
Correct. No. When I say go to New Orleans, I mean because he's a free agent, it might affect his trade value, right? So in other words, how are you going to get Anthony Davis out of New Orleans if they say we're only getting Kyrie for a year?
I don't want to blow up your spot. So I'm not going to blow up your spot, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to expound a little bit on Kyrie and New Orleans.
I'm willing to bet that they have called around to teams about the idea of, are you interested in Kyrie? Okay, I'm willing to bet that they've done that and that New Orleans is one of them. Now, the other teams, I bet you San Antonio is one of them.
Can I ask you why you'd be willing to bet, or you just want to leave it there?
No, I pretty much want to leave it there.
Okay, very good. Continue.
You know,
I don't want to blow up your spot. Proceed.
So I just, again, because we know who Ainge covets. Now, would he be willing to do Kyrie for Karl Anthony Towns? I don't know, but I'd be willing to bet he called Minnesota too. So to me, it would not surprise me in the least bit if Ainge has been on the phone. Again, I'd be willing to bet it that Ainge has been on the phone calling certain teams, and I can almost guarantee you that New Orleans is one of them.
Let us not forget who had the Kyrie Irving knee surgery first as well.
I don't remember who had that.
Anthony Davis.
It was Maz.
Mm.
So, I'm not claiming anything. I'm just telling you what my gut is.
Okay. So essentially, if Maz is correct, we give him all the credit. But if he's wrong, we don't blame him.
Exactly right.
I like that.
Exactly. Like the Dave Portnoy, Rob Gronkowski report.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yes.
If this is right, I get credit. If it's wrong, I don't want to hear about it.
I was a beat guy a long time. I learned how to couch the language.
I'm also willing to admit that I was maybe wrong here with him not showing up to Game 7. Because when it was brought up here, I'm like, you guys are making something out of nothing. He had this surgery. It's not a big deal. But for someone who's plugged into the league, as Chris Broussard, to actually talk about that he wasn't on the bench for Game 7. So maybe it was kind of like a middle finger to the team in some way, shape, or form.
I think it's a bad look. Like, I just don't like the optics of that. I just think you gotta be there for that game. You could help. You know, you could help your guys. They couldn't throw it in the ocean in the second half. You know, you could pull Terry Rozier aside and say, hey, listen, you know, like, I just thought that was bad form. I didn't think that it meant that, you know, they were on the rocks. Maybe it does. You know, maybe it does. But I'm just believing more in the uncertainty as we go forward. And it's sort of, so it's like if Ainge is putting Kyrie's name out there, it's not like he's trying to dump him from what it sounds like. It's like,
no, you got a big fish. You're willing to move him.
If I can get one of the premier big guys in the league, and there's only a handful of them, then yes, you know, everything's available, and Kyrie would be one of them. But even still, that shows some non-committal on their part. Talking to LeBron James shows some non-committalness on their part to Kyrie. If I'm Kyrie, why would I be committal to them if they're not committal to me?
You wouldn't. See, I think, though, it starts with Kyrie. I don't think it starts with the Celtics. In other words, I don't think the Celtics look at it and say, you know, deep down, we don't really want this guy, so let's float him out there. And then Kyrie catches wind of that and says, well, you know what? I don't know if I want to be there either. I think it goes the other way. I think Kyrie's the one that's up, and so he gets to pick because he has the leverage. A year from now, he gets to make the call. That part is indisputable. And so if you are the Celtics and you don't have any type of assurance, you got to pick up the phone. So the question is, what type of deal would you do? And look, the draft's in a week. Right, the draft's a week from now. So I don't know if you know, draft picks factor into this sort of thing or not. It depends on which teams you're talking to. And I'm not telling you that they would trade Kyrie for a draft pick, because I don't think they would. But could draft picks be part of a discussion with some teams? Sure, so this is when it's going to accelerate, is the point. The talks are going to amplify. Things are going to heat up as you get closer and closer to the draft. And if Danny Ainge is not on the phone right now talking about Kyrie Irving in trade scenarios, I'd be shocked. And to me, there are only certain types of players he's looking at. Towns in Minnesota, Anthony Davis in New Orleans. Look, he lusts for Anthony Davis. He probably calls New Orleans every freaking day. Like, if I were him, I would. Like, I'd be willing to bet that he's had at least one conversation with New Orleans.
Put that on the board with everything else. We'll get your reaction right after Murray's update. Again, the Patriots hosted a quarterback today. Guess who?
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Phones as promised. Bob's in Marlboro on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, you're saying Kyrie Irving is not interested in the Celtics. I think it's the other way around. I figured that the Celtics would give this guy a max contract. The Celtics are cheap. They wouldn't want to give Isaiah a contract.
Well, this guy's better than Isaiah. It's really not even that close.
And they're not cheap, Bob. I mean, they were smart. I mean, Wick wants to be under the luxury tax, but we'll see. Let's just put it to you like that. We'll see, because they're going to have 3-4 max players. And they're going to have to go into the tax multiple years if they want to be a long-running, you know, championship-caliber team. So we'll see. Wick's about to be in a place where he's going to have to put his money where his mouth is with the roster. We'll see. But to this point, I have no indication that he would not pay for his team. He's always paid for his team. They were smart not to give Isaiah the max contract. That's not cheap. That's smart.
No, they told him. You can't compare the two, even so. Like, if Kyrie's healthy, Kyrie's worth the money. I think we all saw that the first time we saw him, you know, play regularly here.
It feels like the lack of commitment is mutual. Or as Lily von Stroop would say, mutual. It feels mutual, where the Celtics are calling around with Kyrie's name on the lips of Danny Ainge, or they're entertaining talking to LeBron James in free agency. If you're Kyrie, you're looking at that going, wait a minute, are you committing to me? Doesn't feel like it. Feels like, you know, you treat me as another chip, which is fine. God love you. But when I'm asking about committing to you, I'm going to play the same game you're playing. I feel like it's both.
So, and it probably is. Look, at the end of the day, with Ainge is always looking to upgrade. Always, always, always. But if the Celtics could sign Kyrie right now, would they?
Yeah, I think so.
See, I do too.
You do?
I do. I do, because I think he's that good. I mean, you're not going to make... Now, again, the injury thing, who knows? So maybe there's a variable there.
Okay, so yeah. So what's your point with that? Let's say that that's true. If he were up this year, they'd sign him.
My point is they believe in Kyrie's talent, and they'll find another way to get another player if they have to.
So why would they ever consider dangling him in trade talks? Why would they even introduce pissing him off by talking to LeBron James?
Because they're not convinced that he wants to be here.
So that's so you think it does start with, it starts with Kyrie is what you're
Absolutely,
saying.
I think it starts with Kyrie. I think if Kyrie were to come out and say, because again, he's got the power. To me, Kyrie's got the leverage. He's the one that's up at the end of the next end of next year, so he has the decision in a year. If the Celtics were confident in his ability to his willingness to come back, or they had received some assurance that he was heavily leaning this way, I don't think that they would. I don't think that they'd be on the phone checking out alternatives. I don't. I think that they would say, we'll sniff here and there, but the reality is, no, we're going to sign Kyrie because we want him.
So,
but because I think
no,
in that
fair enough, I get it.
I think in that league, the star player has the leverage.
Right, we discussed earlier, Jason Stark of The Athletic, National Baseball Reporter, talked about committee meeting conversations with Major League Baseball that when they expand, they're going to add two teams here coming up eventually, of going to a radical realignment where it's really, really based on city, and what you're really doing is having four divisions per league and probably even getting rid of the American League and National League altogether, going east-west like they do in the hockey and baseball, basketball. And so we talked about that whole story, and there's some people online who've been wanting to talk about that. Nate in the car. Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, so I don't really care about the alignment stuff, but I what drives me crazy is that the leagues play two different games, National League and American League. And what I propose is, you introduce the designated hitter to the National League, but then both leagues, you only get a designated hitter as long as your starting pitcher stays in the game. And it keeps 6'4" goons like David Freese and Chris Sale off the base paths, and then introduces all the interesting parts of the National League and the late parts of the game where the manager really has to make decisions about how he wants to manage the bullpen and the roster.
It's not horrible. That's not horrible. The double switches, and you see what Madden did yesterday in Milwaukee?
Yes, I know.
One reliever to left field, and then put the other reliever in left field, and they went left-right, except he didn't take the pitchers out. They just put him in left field.
Swapped out the pitcher with the pitcher.
Like, I mean, I do like all that stuff. I am someone who watches both. I watch a lot of Brewers baseball, and I watch the Red Sox. I like the differences in the leagues. I like watching the two different things. I like the pitchers hitting. I don't know if I want both leagues to be like that, but I'm someone who likes that they play a different game. I actually like it.
So, look, I like the late inning strategy part of it because that's a hard decision sometimes. You know, you're ahead 2-1. You get three guys on. Your bases are loaded, and you get the pitcher coming up. You have a chance to blow it open. What do you do?
There's a million examples of that. I'll tell you, the National League game moves better. It moves. You get down to the bottom of that order. It's not just having to pitch to the pitcher. You pitch around the eighth spot, and it's like it moves. It moves much better. I know I'm a voice in the wilderness, but I don't mind the difference. I'd like them to keep that. They probably won't, but I would like them to keep that. Ethan and Weymouth on the four divisions per league. Go.
Hey, guys. So I found another thing after you guys touched upon it, and it's a version where instead of eight divisions of four teams, it's four divisions of eight teams, and this is with Montreal in the North Division and Portland in the West. I personally think that, granted, this would kind of be like, I guess, the NHL.
Yes.
When it comes to the playoffs.
Yep.
But I kind of like it.
Me too. I prefer that. I don't like all those little divisions.
No. So I like that way too. To me, that's the way to go.
Because you can build even more rivalries that way.
Sure.
Your division's bigger. You weight it in the division. And you have, I totally agree with the caller. You have four divisions and you put eight in each and that's your league.
Yes. And look, is it really that much of a stretch or strain for someone from Boston to fly to Chicago? Like that's a piece of cake. That's a couple of hours. That's totally doable. That's easy. So they should be able to handle that one without any difficulty.
No question.
I told you the scheduling thing to me. You just give everybody Thursday off. Think of what that does. Wednesday night game. Now Thursday you got off. So you don't have to worry about flying out late on Thursday night. And then on Sunday, everybody's playing a day game. You're not playing until Monday night. Get rid of the Sunday night national TV game, although they never would because of the contract. But nonetheless, when you get to September, football blows it out of the water anyway.
Frank in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, I'm against more teams. I think we need less teams because if you look out there, I mean, baseball has a couple of problems. One of them, I think, is talent.
Let me tell you something, Frank. And you know what? You're right. We all agree. It's not happening. It's not worth talking about. They're not going to contract. They're not going to go fewer. They're going to go more. It's just a matter of time. So deal with that reality.
What about pitching, though? I mean,
they don't have enough, but they're going to do it. I'm telling you, it's not worth talking about. They don't have enough pitching for 30 teams. Never mind 32, but they're going to 32.
Well, I'm just sick of seeing pitchers that can't get out of the fifth inning. I mean, that's my big gripe.
Your comment line says you're not in favor of decreasing the number of games, which would also be on the table. Why don't you want fewer games?
I said, well, it was my other point. I think if there should be less teams, the same amount of games, and, you know, you kind of improve the player pool out there. I mean, we don't need two teams in Florida.
Frank, we all agree. I don't want to say it that for the 18th time. Everyone agrees with that. It's not going to happen ever.
Unless they start to really lose money.
No, unless we reach another, like, a whole, like, financial shutdown, like, a whole nother economic reality in the country, they're not contracting. Okay, unless something really radical happens, really, the Chicxulub meteor hits, okay, then they're going to contract. But other than that, I mean, they talked about it years ago with, who was it? And then they moved to, and then they expanded to, I can't remember. They almost contracted. They didn't. They're not contracting.
I think it was the Twins, wasn't it? Weren't they going to get rid of the Twins?
I can't remember what
maybe
it was.
Maybe. But in any case, look, a lot of it was probably just posturing for a CBA. And
When's the last time any team contracted?
Oh, gosh. I couldn't even begin to tell you.
The Cleveland Barons in the NHL? So this is something I want to know. A nerd call. What was the last team in American pro sports, not the MLS and not the WHA, the last team in America, in the four big ones, to contract?
Right, not move.
Okay, so I'm going to go. My guess is the Cleveland Barons.
Did they not move anywhere?
I think Cleveland merged with the Minnesota North Stars, I think, or something like that. I can't remember exactly. Cleveland Barons is my guess. What's yours? You can't even think of one.
Kansas City Scouts?
So, right, they're not. No one's contracting. No one's going to contract. Just don't waste your time with that. It's not going to happen. Unless we've just totally missed one, which is possible.
No, I don't think we have.
Either way, they're bringing fun to Gillette Stadium. Have you heard, folks? They now want to make it fun, and Brady and Gronkowski are interested in having fun. In fact, it's now the most important. It used to be winning, but now it's fun. Now they want their fun. Guess what Bill Belichick does for fun? We'll give you that story in our long commercial-free segment next.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways. And I think he just want, you know, he tells me, I love it so much, and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
The tone was set there in Tom versus Time. Tom just wants to have fun. And now this whole thing has taken hold. And it's, I know we've spent a lot of time on it, but man, I think it's a bad look. I hate it. I freaking hate it. Ben Volen wrote this yesterday during our show, so I didn't really have time to fully invest in it, which I did overnight. And so I read it to you earlier. I'll do it again. Again, Bill Belichick, Mr. No Days Off, Mr. No Shortcuts, has given the team the whole week off. And, they had 4 days scheduled. They did a field trip one day and then a half day yesterday. He gave them the rest of the week off. So 2.5 days off. And the day and a half they did work were, again, a field trip where they played cornhole at Fenway. And then yesterday was like a history day at Gillette, which we'll get to in a second.
I think it was like a cornhole tournament.
So Ben Volen writes in the Globe, no fun Patriots seem to be lightening up. Again, Monday, Bill canceled practice. Instead, held a team bonding experience at Fenway Park. On Tuesday, the Patriots returned to practice. But Belichick turned it into an opportunity to teach his players about football history, using props including leather helmets, I'm told. Which again shows you that's Bill Belichick's idea of fun. Showing guys old leather helmets. Also Tuesday, Robert Kraft went out of his way to call the Rob Gronkowski trade rumors hogwash. Oh, and he casually announced that Belichick had canceled the final two practices of the spring, letting everyone out for the summer vacation 3 days early. Has Belichick made football, dare we say it, fun again? Volen says nothing happens by accident in Foxborough. And after a contentious spring between the organization and Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, and continual accusations around the league that the Patriots have a miserable working environment, the events of the last week sure seem like Kraft and Belichick were extending olive branches to their star players. Also, there's this. He says, Belichick's decision to cancel 3 of the 4 OTA practices this week certainly helps Tom Brady in the court of public opinion. Brady has made it clear this spring that his off-field life takes priority over football right now, that these OTAs are not important, and that he can still get ready for the season by training on his own. So, says Volin, what better way for Belichick to show support with Brady than to basically cancel the entire week of practice? And I'll just say there, you know, thereby supporting Brady's contention that these practices aren't that important and really taking heat off him because he's not skipping anymore. They're not being held. So that really does help Brady out in the court of public opinion in some places. Maybe not here, but it certainly gives that optic. So how do you feel about all that? Do you think that's why they're off this week?
No. See, so again, I come back to me, this is like a chicken and egg, which one comes first? And to me, the answer is more clear because you've asked this question. If Brady wanted to practice this week, would Bill have blown the whistle and said?
You bet.
Like, you know, they'd have practiced, right? So to me, Bill's decision has more to do with the fact that Tom's not there rather than the other way around.
So this is what I think it is. I think it's more exasperation or just giving in or acceptance, which is why have passing camps if my quarterback won't show up? What, are we going to go with Christian Hackenberg this week? Screw it. See y'all later.
Yeah, that's the one that makes the most sense. There's no real good reason, but that's the one that at least makes sense. If the most important players aren't going to be here, the hell with it.
If they're doing it because they want to try and have fun now, oh, do I hate that.
Or it's like a mea culpa to some of the veterans to say, hey, I'm sorry about the Super Bowl, so now we're going to have fun. That's even worse. At least telling me you screwed up.
So I hate the thing about them having fun because it's not them. It's just, it's not them, and I know it's definitely not Bill because his idea of fun is leather helmets and old football clips. So he's not the guy. If you want to loosen things up and have fun, you got to have a different coach. He's not, it doesn't fit him. Because again, did you hear what his idea of fun was?
I can't get enough of this.
I mean, this is comical.
Reading from Mike Reese.
It's unintentionally fun.
Before Bill Belichick canceled Patriots' final two organized team activities this week, he transformed parts of Gillette Stadium into a real-life Back to the Future movie. Specifically, Belichick made Tuesday a wide-ranging history lesson on the roots of football, essentially creating an environment in which players were going back in time. That, of course, meant there were leather helmets on the practice field, digital clocks were covered up in the team meeting room, black and white recordings of old football plays were shown, and a no-frills lunch menu, Murray,
this is the best,
was presented that resembled what players in the 30s and 40s might have eaten. For example, hamburgers and hot dogs rather than sushi.
Yeah. Prime rib, Lucky Strikes, and Schlitz.
Hamburgers and hot dogs. The digital clock thing is good, too. So if there was like a standard clock, you know, with the so Roman, he left those there.
But you bring him grandfather clocks?
Cuckoo clocks.
Everybody come in, hamburgers and hot dogs.
Yeah. I mean, if Jack LaLanne was still alive, you're going to bring him in, tell the all right, boys, time for calisthenics. Let's do some jumping.
Okay, so they had him cooking outside with charcoal.
So look, Bill doesn't do fun. He's not fun. I don't want him to be fun. He shouldn't be fun. He's not fun. His nickname is Gloom, okay? He is a miserable prick most of the time. He is demanding and exacting, and you know why? Because he doesn't care about fun. He cares about winning. Winning! That's what it's about down there. But now it's about having fun? So I think it is a purposeful response. I don't know what it is to, Maz, and I think there is some... The canceling of practice, I think, has much to do with Brady not being there as anything. Because, again, for the 1,000th time, you can't have a passing camp without a quarterback. So, if Brady's not going to show, it becomes pointless at some juncture. So, that's why I think they're not there. But the football history day and the cornhole at Fenway, they're trying to have fun now. Because why? There is no good reason in my mind. Because what? Bill's hearing it from like Elaine Johnson's of the world? Bad reason. Don't listen to the noise.
See, to me, it's got to be more about the owner. It's got to be Kraft worried about sort of the image of the franchise.
Is it because of Brady and Gronk? They're not having fun anymore? That's a bad reason. Don't pander to your players. Don't be something you're not. Don't turn this program into something it's not. But it's all about fun. Jimmy, give me Rob Gronkowski last week. All about fun, man. You got to have fun. How you feel. It's all about now. Suddenly in Fox Sports, about how you feel. That's what's important.
You know, it just felt really good to be back out on the field. And that's what matters most. And I enjoyed it a lot today.
Enjoyed it.
I love playing the game of football.
Loves
the
it.
Game of football is fun.
Fun.
When you're feeling good.
Feel
and
good.
If you're not feeling good, I mean, myself, I've asked many other players, you really don't like the game of football. But if you're feeling good, your body feels good, your mind feels good, the joy of playing the game of football is off the charts.
It's about.
But at the same time, if you're not feeling good, it could be
it could be awful. So just making sure I just want to be feeling good, keep my mind clear, and keep on playing the game and enjoy it.
It's how you feel. It's about having fun. It's enjoying it. That's what's most important down there now. That's what's most important, according to Gronkowski. And now Bill's pandering to it or catering to it? Ugh. Ugh. Please. Yeah. I can't stand that. That's not who you are. And that's not what you thrive at. Maybe if you had some fun, I would say go do it. But the leather helmet thing is not that fun, Bill. I hate to break it to you. How about Tom Brady, the cut I asked for, Jimmy? This is the worst. He's asked about his relationship with Bill. So after his BS explanation about how he loves Bill, listen to the very end of it.
You know, I've been here for a long time, and, you know, I love this team. I love this organization, and, you know, I love playing quarterback for him, and, you know, I loved it last year, and, you know, I'm having a lot of fun now. So that's obviously what's most important to me.
Did you hear that? I'm having a lot of fun now, so that's obviously what's most important to me. Since when? I thought winning was the most important thing to you. I thought winning was the most important thing to all of you. And you'll have fun when you have fun. But the winning is first. No shortcuts. No days off. Etc. Winning. Now it's about having fun. That when you really parse out that Brady comment, I'm having a lot of fun now, so that's obviously what's most important to me. Like, that's what... Who are you? And so, they have hot dogs and hamburgers. Because they want to have fun?
I got hoodsies, too.
Ugh. I mean, on some level, Bill's got to be doing it, like, you know, sarcastically. Like, all right, fine, let's have some fun. We'll give you leather helmets. We'll give you hamburgers and hot dogs. We'll make it like summer camp.
Oh, he's a history buff, though. I think he genuinely enjoys that.
No. That's fun for... No. He's not... That's fun for Bill. Bill had fun. Boy, did he have fun watching those old 1930s high school clips of the quarterback taking the snap from center. In the triple wing, that is fun for him. And then fondling the leather helmet, that is fun for Bill. You think his players, you think these 22-year-old kids coming up from the SEC in Alabama are sitting there going, man, what's this guy doing? What is this?
Tell you what, if he ends up leaving after this year and Brady stays, at least we start to get some real answer as to how it looks when one of them's not there. Like at this stage... Assuming all of this is as deep-rooted as we think it is, I want to see what this looks like when one of them's gone.
So even Kraft, when he was talking about when he excused the team, you know, the other day, he said at the end of his comment, I'm excited about this team, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun this year, Kraft said, unprompted, reading from Volan. Again, fun. He writes that Kraft wants everyone to know, but especially Gronkowski to know, that it's okay to have some fun. Gronk seemed to get that messaging last week at minicamp. He spent 3 days high-stepping down the field like Deion Sanders, talking trash to defenders and coaches, firing footballs into the stands, and generally whooping it up every time he made a big play. So that's the most important thing now, having fun. Like, I hate that. And oh, by the way, here's just a little thought, too. Maybe these guys just want to get paid. You know, maybe Gronkowski just wants money. And maybe at the end of it, Brady does too. Maybe Robert, if you paid these guys what they want, they'd shut up about fun and just get back to work doing the whole thing. And I'm not blaming Robert for doing it, because trust me, I'm telling you, I don't know if Gronkowski deserves an extension. I don't think Brady deserves an extension. Not with them, you know, all of a sudden they're year to year. I'm not extending those guys and giving them more money, so I'm not blaming Robert for doing that or not doing that. But something tells me that if you gave Gronkowski his money and extended Brady and gave him another couple $10 million guaranteed, they'd shut up with the fun thing and show back up at practice. Just a thought. I don't know. Just a hunch on that one.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.